Albert Breer, MMQB, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert,
this is like
I was telling
the Masked Singer.
I was telling Jonathan about how you guys all voted as part of the, you know, the power rankings here, and I said that, you know, I'd like to know who was the one guy that voted the Browns 15th, because that seems insane to me. But I said you're not going to tell us, because obviously this was anonymous, right? You know, but how did 15th for the Browns?
I'll be honest with you guys. Yeah. Like, don't tell anybody, but yeah. I actually was like late to get my power rankings in.
Yeah.
So I was doing it sitting in my car in the grocery store parking lot.
Love the honesty.
On my phone. And I don't know if you guys have ever tried. So we do it on like Google, Google Docs or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have ever tried to work a Google Docs or your cell phone. But
terrible.
Not.
Terrible.
Yeah. And then you have to when you're doing those power rankings too, what I normally do is I'll just cut and paste from the list. So I know I've got everybody. But like when you're actually plugging them in, it wasn't great. It was if it was me, I guarantee you it was only because I was doing it in the grocery store parking lot. It's possible it was me, and I'll shoot you a text after. I'll shoot Keith a text after to let you know if it was me or not.
Yeah,
but I honestly can't tell you. I can't tell you one way or the other.
Well, fair enough, and we respect the honesty. But Albert, look, after this draft, what's your general sense, your thoughts from talking to people, all your connections? It seems like the general consensus is that the Browns, who did very well in free agency, a lot of people seem to think they did very well in this draft as well.
Yeah, and I think, who knows? Like, what kind of players these guys are going to be, and I'm not a scout, and I'm not going to tell you that I have any sort of, great insight in the what's going to become of every player. But I think getting Greg Newsom where they did, they got ahead of the second run of corners, which, was coming in the 20s. And you saw where their two Georgia kids went. Eric Stokes at the bottom of the first round and Tyson Campbell at the top of the second round. And so I think getting ahead of that was big. And getting a player at a position that I think is a need for them was important. And then, I think the just letting the draft come to them in the second round and being able to go and find a Jeremiah Osu-Koramoah, who, to be honest with you guys, I think a big part of why he fell was because there's just a lot of teams had a hard time having a vision for him, and it's been a problem with players like him over the last few years. This position in college doesn't really exist as much in the pros. It's called it's the overhang to the field linebacker. And that player plays in space and blitzes and covers and does a million different things, but you don't see that guy fitting in the run game and taking on blocks like quite the way you need him to. So you're projecting him in that area. And I think players like that, even though it's not exactly what Isaiah Simmons was, Isaiah Simmons was hurt. Hurt guys that were those types this year, because he really struggled to get on the field in Arizona. And was the 8th overall pick last year. So, I think there could be great value there if you have a vision for him. And the good news is, at least in some of their packages, the Browns actually have that position in their defense, the overhang to the field position, which doesn't exist in very many NFL defenses. So, I just think from a value standpoint, getting Newsom where they did, getting Owusu-Koramoah where they did, it feels to me like they got two guys were either right where they were supposed to be drafted in one case, in Newsom's case, or way behind where they should have gone in Owusu-Koramoah's case.
Yeah, Albert, it's a great point with Simmons, because I've been wondering that myself. He was dubbed the Swiss Army knife, and then that's exactly what Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah falls into. But if you look at some of the other picks for the Browns, whether it is Owusu-Koramoah, whether it's Anthony Schwartz with that lightning speed, Hudson and the different things he can do positionally, how much is it just the Browns' philosophy and maybe where the NFL is trending that now you can have positionless football, and if you have good football players, you can kind of mix and match them across with the defense or the offense?
Yeah, and I think you got to be careful, Jonathan, about that. You see teams go crazy with it, and then you get a bunch of guys who can do a lot of different things but maybe aren't great at any one thing. Part of the issue is the NFL has become such a specialized game. One of the reasons why that position they have such trouble finding guys, why those guys have trouble finding the field, is because there are specialists who do those things in college. All these things those guys do in college, there are specialists who do that stuff in the pros. Guys who cover slot receivers, guys who cover tight ends, guys who blitz.
like a lot of NFL rosters will have maybe not one guy who does all those things, but they'll have specialists on their roster who do those things, which sort of takes away from the value of the versatility, right? And so, you know, I think, you know, it's always important to have like foundation pieces and guys who, you know, you never have to take off the field. But there's definitely a place in today's NFL for the guy where, you know, when you break the huddle, you don't know where he's going. And, you know, I think like, you know, you see Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, you know, I like you hear the two players he liked, right? Like with that second first round pick, it was Travis Etienne and it was Kadarius Toney. What do those two guys have in common? Well, those two guys, when they break the huddle, they can line up in a bunch of different spots. And that's sort of the idea. And then on defense, how do you combat that? Well, you combat that with guys who can do a lot of different things, you know? And so, you know, while I think that there's an element like you still need the guy, the traditional corner, right? Like the traditional cover corner. You still need the traditional Mike linebacker. You still need big defensive tackles. You still need edge. Like you still need those things. I think having guys that either you don't know what they're going to do when they break the huddle, or they can combat another team trying to throw that at you, have become more and more valuable in today's NFL. And is I think a big reason why is because that's what's coming from the college game.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, yesterday we had Kevin Stefanski on, and I asked him about, you know, still bringing back Sheldon Richardson. He's still out there. He's probably, you know, at least in terms of proven player, he's better than anybody that have the Browns have at defensive tackle. Obviously, they didn't want to pay him $13 million. Maybe he's got, you know, hurt feelings as, you know, that he's may not want to re-sign with the Browns. I don't know. But they, you know, Andrew Berry and Stefanski, you don't say much. They're pretty close to the vest. He was like, yeah, we're keeping an eye on him. We would be, we'd love to have him back. You know, clearly they want him. I mean, are they still working to get that done? Or is he like, forget the Browns, they cut me, I'm not going back no matter what?
Yeah, I wish they could give you a more detailed update on that. Like, I think a lot of times what happens with these guys this time of year, and we talked about it with Clowney a few weeks ago, right?
Yep.
Like, I mean, there are two things at work here. Number one, if a guy's been paid a certain way over the course of his career, he's probably going to have the expectation that he's going to get paid like that again. And sometimes it can take a while for the reality to set in with guys that the money's not going to be out there for them. And so they may be sitting around for waiting for someone to have an injury or whatever it might be, like somebody have an emergency situation where they come, where somebody's be willing to overpay for them. And sometimes that happens, right? And then the second thing I think is exactly what you said, which is like, if somebody else offers him less, it's not going to hit him the same way as the team he was just playing for, if that makes sense. You know, so I think a lot of these cases, you see it, and, you know, I can think of like at least a half dozen cases in the past. I mean, a great example was Wes Welker all those years ago when he left New England. And, like, he actually was offered something in the ballpark from New England of, you know, what Denver wound up giving him. But he was pissed at New England for offering him that because it's like, look what I just did for you for the last 5 years. You need to pay me better than that. Like, almost like he's looking for back pay for it, right? And I think that there's, like, I think Sheldon, like, somebody like that can sometimes look at it that way where it's, all right, like, you know, I made X last year. I played really well for you. So you're basically asking me to take a pay cut? I'm not all right with that.
Right.
Albert, there's like a third rail to every Browns conversation over the previous week, and it's been around Baker and Aaron Rodgers. And I just want a percentage chance. Someone that's in the know the way that you are, can you give me a percentage chance that there's an Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield trade? I'm hoping you're close to zero or even a negative zero, but can you put that number out there for me, Albert?
You don't want Aaron Rodgers?
No, that's not it at all. I just need Browns fans to understand that, like, this is not going to happen. Like, it's not, like, Rodgers is not coming to Cleveland. That's not a scenario.
Yeah, I mean, the Rodgers situation, I hate to put it, it's so unpredictable right now. You know, I talked to Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, over the weekend. I think his feet are planted firmly in the ground on this, and they haven't shown much sign that they're going to budge. I think in part, because I don't believe they think Jordan Love's ready to lead a championship team. So, like, you've got that part of it. And then, I mean, like, look, like, Rodgers has made $240 million in his career. That's his leverage. And normally I'd say a guy's bluffing when he says he'll just walk away. But this guy is just, I mean, just edgy and passive aggressive enough. And it's probably not even the strong enough way to put it, but he's just that guy who would actually do that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, like, and that's the thing is, like, normally it'd be like, okay, like the team would sit there and say, you were the MVP of the league for us last year. We're just going to wait you out. You're going to show up at training camp. I'm not sure in this situation that he's going to. Like, and I think, like, I think the most likely scenario right now, guys, is that, like, nobody does anything for the next 2.5 months, and we're sitting there at the end of July, and you guys remember, like, the helicopter coverage of, like, Favre back in 2008, right? Like, I think we're going to get some helicopter coverage of Aaron Rodgers in 2021. Like, it really feels to me like that's what we're headed for. And then I don't know. And I just don't know. You know, I don't know if, you know, the Packers decide we just got to take what we can right now and move them, or if the if Rodgers is going to decide I really want to play football. But you know, I tell you, like, if there was a list of people in the NFL who would really just walk away because they were pissed off about their situation, I don't know that Rodgers would be number one on that list, but he'd be close to number one on that list.
Albert, in that vein, last thing, if you had to bet now, week one of, not this season, but week one of 2022, is Aaron Rodgers a Packer, Russell Wilson a Seahawk, Deshaun Watson a Texan? Best guess.
No.
Wow, all three. Is there a chance? Yeah. Is so there a chance the any of the so three the get traded like, for I each think, other?
I think Watson, I think the Texans have effectively started to separate themselves from Deshaun Watson. And I think when this is over, however it happens, whether he's exonerated, whatever happens, like I think that both sides are going to come to the conclusion that everyone needs a fresh start. And so I do think, and I think it could happen before the start of the season on Deshaun Watson. Mm, yeah. I think Russell Wilson's going to be a Seahawk in 2021. Yeah. But I do think that he's probably signed his last contract there.
Yeah.
The Seahawks have bought themselves some time to potentially look at, all right, what do we do here? But I don't think Russell Wilson's going to sign another contract with the Seahawks. And I have to look it up. I think his last year of his deal is 23. So I think the Seahawks then would look at it and say, if we're going to get value for him, like maybe now is the time to move on after the season. If he's, you know, starts up with what he's, and again, like, think of any of these guys go out and win the Super Bowl, maybe we're talking about something else, you know, this is assuming that they have, like, you know, just average years. You know, and then I guess I think the Rodgers situation is the least predictable of all of them. Yeah. Like, I could see him back with the Packers. I could see him with another team. I could see him retired. Wow. I don't know what the hell he's going to do. You know, and I'm just trying to be honest with you guys on that.
Yeah, sure.
Like, the Packers have been principled in the way they've done that. They've built their team, you know, really going back to Ron Wolf. So we're talking 30 years. And it rankled Brett Favre, and now it's rankled Aaron Rodgers. And Brett Favre, quote-unquote, retired in 2008 because he was so upset about it. And I think Rodgers is the sort of dude who would be capable of doing the same thing. So, again, like, I Rodgers to me is, like, the real wild card of the three. I'd say, you know, Watson is coming. I'd say Watson is approaching the end in Houston. I would say Wilson, the end is on the horizon in Seattle. And I'd say Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Albert, we appreciate it, man. That's great. That's fascinating. Yeah. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Albert Breer is the best.